Helcruc Tredd trained diligently with his human father from a young age into his early teens. Good, son. Keep your stance strong. Guard up. Now, block. Parry. Counterattack. Helcruc's wiry half-orc frame braced against the impact from his father's swing of the training sword as he raised his own to block. On the second swing, Helcruc raised his sword again, this time shifting his weight to sidestep the blow as he twisted his grip, allowing his father's sword to slide more easily along the flat edge of his. The momentum from the swing carried his father a step further than intended, allowing Helcruc to counterattack.
Yield.
Helcruc now held the tip of his false blade to his father's throat.
Fine warrior, you appear to have bested me.
His father smiles wide at him as he holds his arms out in surrender. His fingers open slowly, starting at the pinky. The hilt of his sword swings up as the blade swings down in his loosened grip, stabbing into the dirt with a wobble as it remains upright.
I knew I'd get you.
Helcruc smiles back, his sword arm relaxing for a fraction of a second. But a fraction is all his father needs as one raised arm swats the blade tip away. He spins, landing a kick to Helcruc's chest that sends him sprawling to the ground. His father snatches up his sword from its intentionally dropped position in the dirt, and with no hesitation, drives it towards Helcruc's chest. The blade expertly slides into the ground just under his armpit, between his arm and torso. You're dead, son. Honor and mercy are valuable traits to exhibit. But when it comes to war, those traits rarely coincide with surviving. They both look up at the creak of the porch door. Helcruc's orc mother stands at the threshold, a frown growing on her face as she crosses robed arms. That's enough training, Dremlo. Helcruc, come inside to wash up. You're behind on your arcane studies as it is. Dremlo chuckles and offers a hand to Helcruc, pulling him to his feet and affectionately dusting him off. Go on, before your mom comes out here and knocks us both in the dirt. The door clatters close as Helcruc scurries past his mother and disappears into the quaint home with peeling paint on the trim and weathered siding. I know, Tulsa. I've been cutting into his readings. But I received deployment orders this morning. Tulsa's stern stance immediately softens as she takes her husband's hands in hers. They're sending you away with that insufferable halfwit, aren't they? Dremlo nods. It's only a negotiation. The terms seem simple enough. Not even a Lakely should be able to screw it up. As if to reassure them both, Dremlo lovingly pulls on the dangling leather ends of his wife's hair tie. The inlaid amethyst stone catches the afternoon light as he tightens it. Weeks later, the Tredd home receives a terse knock at the front door. Helcruc excitedly races to answer, ever waiting for his father's safe return. A stern-looking man stands on the front porch, dressed in the Storm Cape guard uniform. Son, fetch your mother. The exchange of words with his mother is quick. The man speaks with a detached nature, monotone and to the point. Helcruc's father has died, and his actions have caused the death of many others, including the severe injury of diplomat Drake Lakely. Very few details are offered to the Tredd family, despite Tulsa's demands for a proper explanation. The phrase posthumous dishonorable discharge repeats in Helcruc's head. The man leaves, his mother slams the door in frustration, then collapses to the floor in anguish, holding her son tightly as he buries his face in her shoulder, leaving tear stains on her robes.
Block, parry, counter!
Helcruc swings furiously at a training dummy, the thunk, thunk, thunk of the wooden training sword followed by a sharp crack as it splinters under the force of Helcruc's blows. Breathing heavily, he throws what's left of it into the dirt.
Block, parry, counter!
He yells again as he lashes out with punches and kicks, bloodying knuckles and shins in the process. A familiar creak signals his mother's appearance at the front door. Helcruc, it's time for your studies. You've fallen too far behind these past months. Helcruc turns his back to his mother, tightening fists, causing another pulse of blood to drip into the dirt at his feet as he continues to assault the practice dummy.
Buck, parry, counter!
Resigned, His mother returns inside with another creak of the closing porch door. Displays of defiance like this had become a common occurrence in the Tread household since the news of Dremlo's death 3 months ago. His mother's refusal to even speak about what happened angered and confused Helcruc. On numerous occasions, he had witnessed his mother crumpling and burning letters. Always the same faded yellow paper and envelope being delivered to the house. Any questions posed to his mother about the letters were met with dismissal and denial. Their contents remained a mystery to Helcruc, until one evening he managed to retrieve and snuff out one of these letters. As fire does, it had hungrily consumed the majority of the paper, but enough of the message was saved to give Helcruc a requested meeting place, the Bloody Ball Tavern. Not knowing who to look out for at the meeting place was the least of Helcruc's worries. The tavern's usher immediately turns him away at the door. A flush of anger spreads throughout his body as he is denied entry. Helcruc watches the patrons of the Bloody Ball come and go, looking for anybody he may recognize. His impatience and anger grow as the night passes, until his stakeout potentially proves fruitful. Clearly inebriated, a disheveled man stumbles out of the tavern. His head swivels laboriously back and forth before continuing his way down the street. Helcruc follows. He knows this man, Officer Henry Klong, a Stormcape guard that served under his father.
Klong!
Henry jolts in surprise. A clumsy hand moves to his waist, grasping for a sword that isn't there.
No, what are you doing here, kid?
He grabs a hold of Helcruc's cloak, pulling him into a shadowed culvert of a dark building.
Why are you sending my mother letters? Is it about my father?
Henry's words are slurred and heavy.
It's not supposed to be you, kid. Your ma's the one who should be here. This ain't for you to hear.
The bubbling anger within Helcruc finally overflows as he lashes out at Henry.
Tell me what you know.
Henry raises his hands in defense.
Keep it quiet, kid. You'll get us both killed. Nobody can know I'm telling your family anything.
He looks up and down the streets again, the severity of the situation appearing to slightly sober him.
Your dad was a good man, a good officer. We never should have been involved with any of this shit. We're guards, not soldiers.
What are you talking about?
All you and your mom should know is it wasn't your dad's fault. He was set up. Likely botched a war negotiation. It turned violent fast. Your dad did his job and protected Likely. Saved his life and mine. Gave his own to do so, but a guy like Drake Likely would never take the fall for such a massive screw-up. So he pinned it on your dad. Played himself off as the hero. I'm sorry, kid.
Loud footsteps echo in the deserted street as two patrolling city guards approach.
Well, look who it is! Where you been, Henry? We've been searching for you everywhere.
Henry gives Helcruc a hard shove down the road.
Get as far away as you can, now!
Before rounding on the guards, fists raise.
Boy, I was hoping it would go this way,
laughs the guard. Helcruc halts his stumble from Henry's shove, in time to see Henry lunge at the guard, throwing a wild punch. The guard easily sidesteps the swing, drawing his sword and slashing Henry across the chest as he brings the blade up and out of its sheath. The second guard is drawn as well, giving Henry no reprieve as he runs him through. Henry's body slumps to the cobblestone as the guard kicks him off his blade. Helcruc's burning anger drains from his body, replaced with a frigid fear as the guard's attention falls to him. He runs, into the shadows, heart pounding in his ears, muscles burning and chest heaving with exhaustion by the time he stops. By the time he thinks he's safe. But how can he be safe in a city where the guards aid in framing a hero? How can he be safe in a city where they assassinate anyone who knows the truth? How could his mother be safe if she learned it too? He pulls out the burnt correspondence Henry had sent to his mother. Would she even want to know the truth? Would she even care? Helcruc furiously crumples the remnants of the letter. He would not return home. Not until many years later. Helcruc sits at the bar of the crowded Bloody Ball Tavern. Despite its proximity to the guard shack district, unsanctioned fights are held every night. Not surprisingly, many members of the guard are known to frequent these fights. A particularly rowdy group of them has been imbibing far too many pitchers of ale this evening. On a seventh or eighth trip to the bar for a refill, the largest of the group wobbles his way over and wraps his arms around four glass pitchers to pick them up. Stumbling over his own feet, he sends himself backpedaling towards Hellcruck's seated position, slamming into him. The ale sloshes all over the large man, glass pitchers shattering as they drop to the tavern floor. "You spilled our drinks, Orc!" The man's red-faced anger seems to have a steadying effect as he rounds on Hellcruck. Already, the rest of his drinking buddies are on their feet.
"You should be more mindful of where you step."
Hellcruck rises from his seat, angrily brushing away droplets of ale from his clothing and getting right in the man's face. He chokes down his anger like rising bile, glancing towards the rest of the drunks at the table.
"I think I'll be leaving,"
Hellcruck tersely says through clenched teeth. The large man growls, grasping for Hellcruck's shirt with a meaty hand. Hellcruck easily slaps his hand aside and quickly moves past him, leaving the tavern. The night air is crisp and chilly as Hellcruck wraps his threadbare cloak around himself. The door to the bloody ball slams open behind him as the half-dozen inebriated guards stumble out into the street. They quickly surround Hellcruck. Plumes of condensed breath blast out from their heavy breathing. The lithe figure with slicked back golden blonde hair motions to the burly man that bumped Hellcruck.
"As my friend said here, you spilled our drinks. So either pay up for a new round."
The man looks Hellcruck up and down, scoffing.
"Which doesn't seem likely you can. Or we rough you up a bit. Teach you a lesson that you won't be forgetting. I want one of his little tusks there as a trophy, I think. Bring it to me, Dutch."
The large man smiles as he pats his fist against his palm. Hellcruck's anger flares as the man lunges at him for the second time. And for the second time, Hellcruck bats his arm away, this time following up with a punch to Dutch's stomach. Dutch keels over, a night's worth of low-quality ale expelling into the street. Hellcruck savagely connects heel to jaw, kicking Dutch out cold. The rest of the circle closes in. Their attacks are sloppy. They're far too drunk to effectively coordinate.
"Block, parry, counter!"
Hellcruck growls to himself as he does just that. There is a lull in the fighting where those still able to stand back off to catch their breath or scramble away. The coiffed figure, who had previously been simply watching, pulls out a dagger, initials BL engraved in a flourished script at the base of the gleaming blade.
"It looks like your lesson may need to be a bit more severe."
He launches an assault of quick slashes, followed by a darting stab. Hellcruck is on the back foot, retreating to avoid being cut. He spins away from the stab, the dagger's tip leaving a shallow slice at his shoulder. Hellcruck bellows as he punches the coiffed figure square in the nose. It crunches from the impact, blood spurts down the figure's front as he drops his dagger to cover his face.
"Ah! You imbecile, you cretin! Don't you know who I am? Who my father is? I'm Blake Lakely, you idiot! You can't do this to me!"
The thunder of running footsteps echo down the street as uniformed guards approach, weapons drawn. Still holding a shattered nose, Blake Lakely points erratically at Hellcruck.
"He assaulted us! Chain him!"
Comprising a series of tunnels chiseled and carved into the rock far below the plateau, Stormcape Prison houses offenders of all severities, dubbed Storm's End by the longest-serving criminals. Very few inmates serve their time without a violent incident, and Hellcruck is no different. After witnessing countless cuts, bruises, and black eyes during Hellcruck's first few weeks in the prison, his cellmate offers a few words of advice one night. "To move against the wind offers only resistance."
"Just what in the hell does that mean?"
"The growth of the branch is always towards the nourishing sunlight. So should your path lead you to the light."
"There's no light in Stormcape Prison. Only broken branches."
Hellcruck rolls over in his cot, putting an end to the conversation.
"You're in my seat, Puny One."
A towering Goliath rests his fists on the cafeteria table in front of Hellcruck. The faded tattoo of a filled-in triangle on his cheek denotes his membership of the Trinity, a gang known for its cruelty and being fiercely territorial. Mid-bite, Hellcruck drops his fork onto his plate, glaring at the Goliath and the three goons he has with him.
You're interrupting my lunch.
What lunch?
The Goliath smiles as he flips Hellcruck's plate, throwing his food to the floor. Hellcruck is on his feet, clenched fists already swinging as he snarls.
I'll make you eat that!
The Goliath takes the punch and smiles as he spits blood from his split lip, lashing out with his own powerful strike. Quicker than either of them, with a ruffle of long sleeve, a slight pale hand reaches out, batting the Goliath's punch aside, putting him off balance. That will be more than enough, Gilgroy. Hellcruck's cellmate returns to a passive position, hands clasped and resting in front of her. The Goliath's demeanor immediately softens, his gaze lowering to the floor.
Sorry, Eleanor.
Gilgroy snaps his fingers at one of his goons.
Food. Now.
The goon slides his own lunch tray onto the table in front of Hellcruck.
The Trinity meant no disrespect to you and your own, Eleanor.
Eleanor simply nods as Gilgroy and his underlings slink off. Hellcruck regards his cellmate with confusion.
How exactly did you do that?
The broken branches may still be mended, with tutelage. Some, however, as she offers a slight nod towards Gilgroy, are beyond repair. Are you one of the latter, Hellcruck? Hellcruck looks at his fist, splattered with Gilgroy's fresh blood. He winces as he probes the bruises all over his body in various stages of healing, finally meeting Eleanor's piercing gaze.
Please, teach me.
Hellcruck spends 10 years in Stormcape Prison. During this decade, Hellcruck takes up a monthly correspondence with his mother, slowly mending their broken relationship, though he has not received a letter from her in a number of months. Hellcruck's decision to make the effort with his mother is due in part to Eleanor's teachings. The two form a strong bond that goes beyond people and mentor. Eleanor's own story of how she ended up in prison resonates with Hellcruck. Like his father's fate, she was made patsy for a crime she did not commit. Her devotion to monkhood and her residence at the Temple of the Way was not enough to stave off a life sentence. It takes many years, but Hellcruck learns meditative techniques to temper the rage that has been slowly building in him since his father's death. These methods, along with martial arts training, are the only aspects of Eleanor's way of life that Hellcruck devotes himself to, rejecting the more traditional lifestyle and religiosity that members of the temple would uphold. One night, Hellcruck woke to the sound of tapping against cell bars, not an uncommon occurrence. Stormcape guards would round up select inmates on a monthly basis, removing them from their cells and releasing them in the middle of the night in an effort to combat the prison's severe overcrowding. These efforts were an unspoken reality of Storm's End. Even an offhanded mention about them would get you beaten by the guards. Tread! Up! Now! To his surprise, a guard stands at the open door to the cell he shares with Eleanor.
What's going on?
I don't know who pulled this string, but you're on the list, says the guard, brandishing an unfurled roll of parchment. Now move it. Eleanor has roused from her sleep as well, a look of serenity on her face.
No, I won't go. Take Eleanor, not me.
She's not on the list, Tread. You are. I've never had to drag or release inmate from their cell, but there's a first time for everything. The mended branch may now flourish in the light, Hellcruck. Go. As you were meant to do so, remember what you have learned. I do not wish to see you back here. Hands calmly clasped in front of her in the usual passive stance she carries herself in, Eleanor dismisses her pupil. Now alone on the streets once again, Hellcruck decides it's finally time to return home. The comforting memories of his childhood flood back to him as he climbs the stairs of the front porch. It has been recently painted, the familiar faded lilac color replaced with a gaudy neon green. A doormat at the front entrance reads, "Temora bless this mess." Hesitating, Helcruc finally gives the door 3 sharp taps with his knuckles. His mother does not answer. Instead, a portly, rosy-cheeked dwarf greets him at the threshold.
Oh, hey there, feller. Can I help you?
Yes, I'm looking for Tulsa Tred. Who are you?
You're looking for who?
Asks the dwarf, before realization settles across his face.
Oh, the previous owner, you mean? Hey, look, feller, I'm sorry to have to tell you, but she's since passed away. Happened about 6 months back. I'm Abel Leadstepper. I just moved in a few weeks ago. How did you know her?
She's my mother.
Abel's face falls into a deep frown.
Oh, gosh, I'm just so sorry. Wait. By tomorrow's divine will, you wait right here.
Helcruc is left abandoned on the porch, absorbing his loss. From within the house, he can hear the pulling of drawers and shuffling of items before Abel returns, his arm outstretched holding an object.
I found this the day I moved in, and I just knew that I had to hold on to it. Is this something important?
Abel holds a simple leather strap with an inlaid stone of amethyst. Helcruc takes it from the dwarf.
This was my mother's. It was a gift to her from my father. I thank you, Abel.
Oh, well, I'm just glad the gods saw fit to get it returned to you.
Helcruc wraps the strap around his wrist, securing the ends in a tight knot. Happy to have this memento of his parents, he is sure that the gods had nothing to do with its return to him. He knows his mother would scoff at such a notion. His father would simply rejoice in the happenstance of its return. Eleanor would undoubtedly come to a conclusion somewhere in the middle of his parents' hypothetical notions, stating that the path is always laid before us, but our actions determine if and when we walk it. Helcruc wakes to the sound of a creaking barn door opening. Slants of sunlight falling across his face, causing him to squint at the shadowy outline of a person approaching him.
Who in the hells are you and what are you doing in my barn, boy?
An older man comes into focus, brandishing a pitchfork, clad in dirty overalls. The braying of horses fills the large barn as Helcruc gets to his feet.
No, I don't mean any harm. I'm not trying to steal anything. I just need a place to sleep for the night.
The man narrows his hard gaze at Helcruc, glancing around the barn as if to confirm that nothing is missing or damaged. Finally, he jabs the pitchfork into a bale of hay and leans on it, before picking out a strand and popping it in his mouth.
Well, you didn't spook the horses, at least. They don't seem to mind you. You got nowhere else to go, eh?
No, I won't bother you any more than I already have. You won't see me again, I can promise you that. If you could just not call the guards, I'll be on my way.
Bah!
The man waves his hand dismissively.
You think Captain Lakely gives a shite about anything outside the city walls? No, I won't be calling those useless mooks.
The man unceremoniously spits out the hay.
You're a bit on the stringy side, but look strong enough.
He pauses, looking Helcruc up and down before nodding.
Yep, that settles it. You'll stay, and you'll earn your keep. The horses don't tend themselves, you know.
He pulls out the pitchfork and tosses it to Helcruc.
What are you waiting for? Get shoveling.
To know oneself is to know true strength. Oh, excuse me, I didn't see you there. Don't mind the meditations of my mind. For now we must bid farewell. But fear not, the journey continues at incorrigibleparty.com. There's also a new world anvil page to explore the world of Senta and all its wonders. These enchanting melodies you've heard come from tabletopaudio.com and Sarastro Music. Please accept my invitation to join our Discord server, and we shall forge bonds as strong as a tall oak and share tales that echo throughout the halls. Lastly, I humbly beseech you, like, rate, review, and spread the word of our adventures across the realms. Tell a friend, a comrade, or even a foe. And until we meet again, may your dice be blessed with fortune and your cup filled with ale. Happy adventuring.
This has been a Sounds of Steel production.